This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL, headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Here we go, Football Nation on Patriots.com radio. Exciting weekend of playoff action and divisional round. 8 went in, 4 survived, and we're heading to the AFC-NFC championships. The Patriots are one of those four teams, by the way, if you haven't noticed. I'm Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Todd DeVries. What's going on, Todd?
Not much, my friend. 3 games left on NFL calendar.
AFC Championship, NFC Championship, and the Super Bowl.
That's it, my friend.
Yeah.
It's winding down too quickly for my blood.
Bittersweet symphony.
The more... exactly. I'm seeing more college basketball on my television. Doesn't make me happy, Bill.
Can I just brag about college basketball for a second? You see my Syracuse undefeated right now, number 2 in the nation?
Did not see that, Bill.
Oh, well.
I will tune in to college basketball on March 1st.
As soon as the NFL's over. March 1st? Why? Well, February 4th.
March Madness.
Okay.
You know, if Syracuse is number 2 in the country or number 64 in the country.
March Madness doesn't start until like late March anyway.
Yeah, so I start paying attention like in March when the conference tournaments start, you know, when everyone's talking about RPI and all that good stuff. That's when I tune into that.
Well, listen, we have a lot to pay attention to in the NFL. There are only 3 more games, but perhaps they are the 3 most important games of the year.
Perhaps.
I'm just saying, you know, you think these are the 2 most important games, but the people that were playing in Wild Card Weekend, like the 49ers, maybe that was the most important game. Who knows? But the next two games are for the chance to play in New York, New Jersey for Super Bowl 48. I'm excited. I know you're pumped up about the potential of these 4 teams making it to the big game. We're going to recap all the divisional action, certainly go into
you
the
in a
Patriots.
Fantasy draft or something?
Who?
I heard that noise. I heard the little ESPN. Who was that?
No, that was my phone.
All right.
It was a score center. By the way, that's our Kevin
have
Collins.
Some professionalism, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, I usually hit the mute button, and I did not. Now the mute button is on. Do you know what the it's a automatic like notification from ESPN, Kevin? And I was getting inundated by these yesterday, all about Deion Sanders making the Pro Bowl.
Wow!
Big breaking news.
Lame.
Totally lame. But how do I turn that off?
I don't know. I don't have those things. When you download the scores, I have like Score Center app or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't let it when it asks you do you want notifications? I just say no.
Well, there's ways to like configure it so that you can get.
I just know that noise from the ESPN Fantasy Football Draft Room. That's what.
No, it's the same thing for the Score Center thing. The issue though is like you can configure it to kind of tailor it to what you care about, but they don't let you drill down. They should have 2 categories for NFL breaking news, like fluff and like real breaking news. Because they mix it all up. It drives me crazy.
All right. There's your rant.
Yeah, thank you.
Is Bill dead?
I'm here.
All right. I didn't know you were quiet. I'm giving the show back to you. I just wanted to embarrass Todd.
I forget what I was saying.
Bill had a stroke while we were having that conversation. It's okay, though.
I mean, I was in the middle of a sentence, and I got blasted, like, Kerry.
Out of
Kevin,
nowhere.
Kevin ran over me.
Out of nowhere, I hear, doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo, and I'm like, wait, did I just play something that I shouldn't have? And I was like, it must be one of those 2 numbnuts.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, one of those.
What was the breaking news, Todd? Anything important?
No.
No.
Nothing.
News and notes from around the NFL. Jim Caldwell was hired by the Detroit Lions as their head coach, and Ken Wisenhunt was hired by the Tennessee Titans. Those are the 2 main stories outside of the playoffs, so I don't know what ESPN was alerting you of.
Nothing important.
No, nothing just important.
More Pro Bowl junk. They must be televising it or something. I mean, there's got to be a reason for this. Yeah. No, here's what it is. You know what it was? What? Breaking news. Carolina's GM says Cam Newton is franchise quarterback.
No way.
I kid you not. That is the headline. Carolina Panthers general manager Dave Gettleman said that Cam Newton has proven he is a franchise quarterback, but he wouldn't say whether they would attempt to negotiate a long-term deal. That's the breaking news I just got on my phone.
That's
breaking.
Terrible. Terrible ESPN.
Yeah.
Speaking of ESPN, Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, will join us a little bit later in the show. He's going to
He breaks real news.
He breaks real news, yeah.
Yes.
Like Jim Caldwell getting hired.
Yes.
He broke that down on NFL Insiders a little bit earlier today on ESPN. So we'll ask him about his opinion on the Jim Caldwell hire for the Lions. Does it make sense? The Ken Wisenhunt going to the Tennessee Titans, is that a good move? And, of course, the remaining two positions that are open, Todd, no shocker here. Cleveland Browns and the Minnesota Vikings, no one wants those jobs.
Gee, I wonder why.
So we'll ask him about those games and also break down some of the divisional action. Plus, our good friend Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, he'll join us to discuss the divisional matchups as well. And if anyone out there wants to call in with their opinions about the Pats and the Colts game, the phone lines are wide open, 855-728-7500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Todd, compare the wild card weekend to the divisional weekend, and you're kind of left wanting a little bit more excitement.
Yeah. You know, Bill, we talked about it prior to the playoffs that I always seem to prefer the divisional round to the wild card weekend because you get the big boys playing, you know, the ones and the twos, a lot on the line. And this year, it was not to be. The wild card round was so much better. Three out of those four games are outstanding. Came down to the end, I don't know, kind of zero out of the four, to me, had any doubt in it. I mean, I guess you could say the Chargers, Denver game, kind of. But,
yeah,
you know, it was 17-0 entering the fourth. You know what I mean? It was 24-7 at one point. And I don't know. You're right. The games were kind of boring.
Yeah. A little bit.
You know?
Our producer, Kevin, kind of alluded to the picks that we made last Thursday. So usually when Kevin tries to bring something up, that usually means that he did something right. So I'm kind of...
I forget the scores I predicted. That's what
Kevin. But
that's
you got them all right?
No, I don't know if I got them right. I'm like you, Bill. Like I was trying to remember what scores I predicted, and I remember Todd said he was writing them down. And I had no clue, Bill, what scores I predicted.
I can never remember the scores that I predict, ever.
I've got them all right here, my friends.
I think I picked the games right, though.
You, Kevin, and I were 4-0.
I was 3-1. Damn Chargers.
Your Chargers.
I mean,
go
I
Chargers,
guess I,
go.
No more. I retired. Go Chargers, go after they lost.
Yes. Yeah, I can't say it anymore. I can't sing
no
it anymore.
No Chargers, no.
Yeah, and there goes my shot to redeem myself for all the crappy picks that I had all year.
Yep.
So I'm back
and now
where
it
I
becomes.
Started.
Yep. It becomes just another in a long line of crappy picks.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. If we're really gonna come down to the wire here, you do have to keep in mind that I did have the Broncos winning it all preseason.
And now you're back to that one.
Well, let's not forget that originally I did pick the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you've been through four different champions, dude. Now you're back to square one.
Well, Todd, you, on the other hand, in the beginning of the year, said the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks, and that is still very much alive.
Not only that, I actually had the Final Four exactly correct. How about that?
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. I had San Fran, Seattle, and I had Seattle winning. I had New England, Denver, with the Patriots winning.
That's very impressive.
It's pretty chalk, but, you know, it wasn't going out on a limb.
Yeah.
But here we are. I mean, you know, what are these two teams combined? They regular season, they are what? They have 50 wins between the four of them.
Yep.
Right?
Pretty good. Not
something
50.
Like that. Yeah. 12. Well, the two teams are 12-4. Two teams are 13-3. Right? Am I right?
I'm not good at math, but.
Yeah. 12 plus 13 is 25 times 2, 50.
25, carry the. One,
oh,
yeah,
my.
Yeah, 50. 50 between the four.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is these are the four best teams in the league. I don't think anybody can argue that.
Well, the Broncos and the Patriots are the 1 and 2 seed in the AFC. Seahawks are the 1 seed, but the Panthers were the 2 seed. They're out of it. So in terms of regular season record, wouldn't the Panthers be the 4th best team?
No.
Why?
Because they just lost
at home to the Niners.
And they had the same record as the Niners.
That's why I'm in favor of reseeding in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I didn't disagree on that at all.
Yeah. We just don't like that seventh team.
No seventh team. The reseeding, I'm cool with that. But yeah, so you got the four best teams, and we'll break all those games down, soup to nuts, on Thursday.
What were the scores, though?
All right, scores. Ready?
Yeah, let's give it to them.
What was the final score of Saints Seahawks?
23-16.
No.
Bull doesn't even know the scores of the real game.
It was 23-15, right?
Yes. Yeah, something like that.
All right. Bill, we all had the game correct, and we all had Seattle. Bill had 24-10.
All right.
I had 27-20. Kevin had 34-20.
Yeah, I was way off.
You're way off in that one.
With points, yeah.
No points. We didn't do it. This is not against the spread. This is straight up, homie.
No, I know.
He's saying high scoring game versus
high scoring game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I picked them to win by 14, and they won by 8. I mean, that's 6. That's not terrible, but it's just the amount of points I picked was way off.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So I win that one, right?
Yeah, I think Todd wins that one.
I had them by 7. They won by 8. Okay.
Yeah.
One for me. Game number 2: Patriots Colts. Bill had 34-31.
Off. Way off.
I had 31-17. So I had them winning by 14.
Yeah, that's going to win.
Not really, because Kevin, you also had a winning by 14, but you had 38-24.
Oh, so I was closer.
Kevin, you're going damn close.
Kevin wins that
soup
one.
Soup to nuts.
Todd won, Kevin won, Bill zero.
Zero, shocking.
Come on.
Okay, game number 3.
This is ridiculous.
Niners-Panthers. This is going to be a tough one to determine the champion here, perhaps. We all had the Niners. The final score was?
23-10.
Right. I had 20-13.
Ooh, that's close.
Bill had 24-17. Mm. And Kevin had 20-17. So Kevin's out. It's between me and Bill. I'll let Kevin decide who wins.
So how many points?
We both had him winning by 7.
Yeah.
I had 20-13, which is the exact number that they combined to score. I just had the 3 off, right?
Yeah.
And then Bill had 24-17.
I think Todd wins that.
Yeah, I win.
I think Todd. Total points.
Todd 2. Yeah. I like this. Todd 2, Kevin 1, Bill 0.
Yep.
Shocking. Shocking. All right.
What
0.
About the last game?
The last game. What was the final score, boys?
24-17.
The Chargers lost, so I'm already out of
it. Yeah, Bill's out.
Yes, Bill's out. And Bill had 27-23.
I think I had a ton of points in this game.
Bill had 27-23 Chargers. He loses. Okay. I had 38-20.
Oh, so you had a ton of points, too.
I did. You had 34-23. Kevin, you were going to win that because I had an 18-point spread. You had an 11-point spread.
And it was 7. So, yeah, that makes sense.
We were both not impressive with our prediction there. But
no.
You win. So
but we got all 4 games right, which is good.
Yeah. So, Kevin, 2. Todd, 2. Bill, 0.
Nice. All this talk about math giving me a headache. Total numbers you guys are figuring
so,
out.
At least it's not
points.
Geography.
That's true.
I'm worse in math than geography. I think the audience could attest to that.
When they listen on Thursday to our predictions, you can tune out when Bill has his predictions. Pay attention when Kevin and I give ours.
That's so mean.
Yeah, that is a little mean.
That was harsh.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
It's fun for you.
It's very fun.
Poor Bill. Bill sounds like he's like a dog with his tail between his legs. He's beaten down by the man.
Well, here's the problem.
And he was the one who was trying to, you know, call it his show on Facebook.
That's true.
He's the face of the show.
Oh, Jesus.
And he didn't get one pick right.
Kevin, you want to explain that one?
No, I'm surprised. I'm surprised Todd didn't chime in on that one.
Stand away. I was just shocked. I thought Todd might have expired. I was like, oh, no, did I miss the service? Like, you know, I could have sent a bouquet of flowers or something to his kid, at least a sympathy card.
Todd and I do another show on footballnation.com, very similar to this show that we do for the Patriots. On our other show, my friend, who is a lawyer in New Jersey, came on to talk about the unique case of the New Jersey man suing the NFL for the overpriced Super Bowl tickets. So he's been my friend growing up my whole life. So for all my friends on Facebook, I put the link with his interview, and I said, James came on my radio show. Not like, Bill's show is the best, and it's all me, and I don't have nothing like that. It just says, James came on my radio show. Oh, James came on Todd and my radio show? No, none of my friends know who Todd is. So it wouldn't make sense to include him.
Wow, now he's saying you're not his friend, Todd. This is getting personal in a hurry.
Very personal. It also means that none of his friends have ever listened to our show before.
Well, that is
they don't know who I am.
That's likely very true. For a while, Todd's son didn't think I existed. He thought I was like Manti Te'o's girlfriend, Lenny Kakua.
Well, he's how old is he, Todd?
9.
And he's probably walking into this room thinking, like, who's daddy talking to? He's just sitting here talking to himself for 2 hours. So I could understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
But, of course, Kevin has to chime in on Facebook. Oh, what happened to Todd? Your show. What happened to Todd?
I thought it was pretty clever. I made myself
laugh. It was not very clever.
I made myself
laugh.
What
kind of reply did he get? Did anybody reply to it, Kevin?
No.
I haven't kept track of the thread.
Yeah, okay. No. All right. Enough on this?
I replied. I said, Todd is done. Said he couldn't work with unprofessional producers anymore.
I thought
that was more clever than Kevin's comment.
Mm.
No,
Kevin, there's a shot right at you.
Well, I'm not that clever, but I mean, the only thing I have going left to live for is to laugh and crack myself up. So that's what I try to do. Bill, you sound very down in the dumps today. You're yawning. Your whole tone's off.
I didn't mean to yawn like that.
No, but what's going on, Bill? What's going on?
I really wanted the Chargers to win.
You just seem down. You seem.
It was a lot more fun when I can.
Your usual self today.
It's a lot more fun when I can take an underdog story like the Chargers, and you can play the San Diego Superchargers music, and we can play the Arnold soundbite. We have fun doing that kind of stuff.
It's been retired now. You're gonna have to pick a new team. You only got 4 teams left to pick from.
Yeah. Now it's just like. Like Todd said in the beginning of the show, it's all the teams that we expected to be here, and sometimes it's not fun when, you know, there's no... I like rooting for an underdog, mostly because the money line pays out the most.
But, Bill, if you remember, did you pick the Broncos to win the whole thing? Is that what you were saying before?
Yeah.
So, when we do make our picks on Thursday, this is just a tease, because we're not even going to talk about the picks till Thursday, of course.
Right.
But, when we do make these picks, I know you're Super Bowl champion... and Todd's Super Bowl champion are still left.
Yep.
And they're different teams.
Yep.
And just as a teaser, I will probably cut bait with aligning myself with Todd and join your team on this one.
So why would you do that?
After the
last 10-minute conversation, now you're going to go with Bill?
Well, even I'm saying, what the hell would make you do that?
Here's the thing, though. That's what I picked. You know, we did our Super Bowl matchups back in August or whatever.
Yeah.
The team that I picked to be the AFC representative is still in it. So how can I just change my pick because my team happens to be in it? You know, I don't think that's fair. You can't.
I remember that.
You got to stick with your guns, right? And if you're going to ride them, and as long as your teams are still in it. And I think we had this conversation last week, guys, when we were talking about how all of us in August, all three of us, we each had to pick a team, an AFC team and an NFC team. NFC team to represent the, you know, for the Super Bowl. And, you know, if you're both of your teams are left in the final 8, you're doing pretty good. Well, if both of your teams are left in the final 4, you're doing something right when you're making these picks. So you can't just go away from that,
Mm-mm.
in my opinion.
All year we did that power ranking.
Yeah.
Right? What did I have all year? I had Seattle 1 and Patriots 2 or 3 all year.
Yeah. And so, you know, to just, like, abandon, you know, what you felt and what you've predicted the whole year when it's gotten you this far, I think is just asinine. You gotta dance with who brung you, you know, Bill?
Mm. Yeah, Bill knows.
Bill knows.
Bill goes Broncos, then he goes Falcons, Saints,
Broncos. Just by the way here, Peter King of Sports Illustrated also had the Broncos and the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
So?
So it's not like it's not like my picks were out of control.
Did he change his pick 4 different times after?
If he was smart like me, he would have.
Kevin just said you got to dance with what got you there.
And in Bill's defense, that rule
applies to fantasy. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily apply to me.
But in Bill's defense, he danced with his picks until they were dead, Todd. They were just dead, buried, really done. In the ground, cold.
And not true. He danced with the Saints, and then he changed from Saints to Chargers. Saints were still alive.
And then he mourned them, had a burial, a funeral, and all that, you know, proper services and all that nonsense. And then moved on to somebody new.
All Bill had to do, his initial prediction was Falcons-Broncos. When the Falcons stunk after 5 weeks, all he had to say was, I'm on the Broncos all the way. And if he just wrote with the Broncos the rest of the way, he'd be looking all right now.
I didn't want to do that because I wanted so badly for the Chargers to beat him. That's what I wanted to happen.
Yeah, and then you would have been, you know, you would have been in a pickle this week, I think, trying to take them to come here and win. It would have been tough. I think it would have been tough for them.
If the Patriots win this week, we'll have shows next week or no?
Yeah. We will have shows.
Even though there's no game?
I think the edict came down that we have shows until they lose.
So this Tuesday, today's show can either be our last show or
what?
Our...
What yeah. show on Thursday?
No.
Our last Tuesday show.
Yeah, our last Tuesday show.
Yes. It could be. But we were in that situation last week, though.
Yeah, I didn't realize it last week. Todd pointed that out to me.
It's do or die. We're living by the, what's that expression again? Flying by the seat of your pants?
Yeah.
Is that how they say it?
Now, if the Pats do win this weekend, Kevin, will you join me in New York City?
Oh, yeah, no. We'll be there. I think in Indy we left like 8 days early, so I'm not sure.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
By the way, Bill just did it again.
What?
Join me in New York City.
Oh, that's true. Todd's dead now.
I have a credential as well, but he's joining you.
This is a tough relationship. I feel like I'm in the middle now. I feel like I'm the child in this. Like,
because Kevin, you know the AFC hotel is right by me.
I don't even know where the AFC hotel is.
The Hyatt in Jersey City, right by my house.
Is it nice?
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's in Jersey City.
Yeah, that's where we stayed. That's where we stayed earlier this year.
It was okay.
It was okay, but. But yeah, this is. I feel like I'm like the stepchild or something, being tugged back and forth. You know, I'm mommy's, and no, I'm daddy's. Like, whose child am I?
Well, I think if you want to have more fun, you know where to go.
That's true.
Here's the deal, Kevin. You and I are going to be like at a happy hour.
Okay.
Bill's going to text you, Kevin, and he's going to be like, "Hey, you want to go grab a bite?" You'll be like, "Having drinks with Todd right now." So you'd be right in the middle of that.
It's going to be terrible.
And Bill's going to be like, what?
He's going to be crying the
whole
time.
Or I'm going to roll in with a posse of 20 people, walk past you guys, and pretend I don't know you.
That's true. He'll have like a mink coat on, some aviators.
Don't forget, you guys are coming into my territory here.
That is true.
Let's just keep that in mind for next
That's
week.
That's very true.
Or 2 weeks from now.
At least you acknowledge that I'll be in your territory.
Well,
now, you
guys are guaranteed to be there. I'm not there yet. We still got some work to do. So
you know,
we'll
the hotels are not that expensive. You should just come anyway.
Are you inviting me to sleep in your bed with you?
No, I said the hotels are not expensive.
I was confused.
How much are hotels?
Like $230, $250.
A night?
See, the thing about New York City compared to other places like Indianapolis, when we were in Indianapolis, there were maybe five or six hotels in the whole city. You know, there's five or six hotels on one street in New York. So it's not like the prices are going to be out of control.
When we were in Indy, we stayed at IUPUI's, like, campus hotel. It was like basically like we were in dorms. So
no.
I'm dead serious.
Really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
No, did you stay at the Marriott?
No.
That's where I stayed.
Well, that's the JW Marriott was for media. I think that
was
right.
You were at the Patriots.
I was at the team hotel.
Right.
So it was different. And the Giants stayed right downtown, but we stayed kind of off the grid a little bit.
Speaking of that trip to Indianapolis, our good friend Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, he was the leader of that trip. Kerry, remember when we stayed in Indy? How you doing, my friend?
Well, gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're trying to go over our plans for the Super Bowl here. When we stayed in Indy, we had a great hotel, but one of only five or six hotels in the area.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to Kevin and Todd that in New York City, there's so many hotels that the prices really aren't out of control.
Well, you know what is interesting? On a similar vein, Bill, you know, I've been to four or five, six Super Bowls now, and my concern with the one in New York, besides the weather, is that New York is so big that it will swallow up the event. Like, you won't even know what's going on. In New Orleans, in Fort Lauderdale, in Indianapolis, and even to some extent in Dallas, which is obviously a huge city, the Super Bowl was omnipresent. Like, you know, in Indianapolis, you couldn't escape it. Everybody there was there for the Super Bowl and knew the Super Bowl was going on. In New York, you know, how are you going to know? How do you, even the NFL, how do they make their presence known in a city, you know, in Gotham, in a city that big? And I don't think it's going to have the same festive vibe
right.
as the Super Bowls. I really don't.
You could be down in the financial district or down, like, on the East Village and not even know there's a game going on.
I mean, you can be two blocks away from the Empire State Building and not even know it's there, right? I mean, it's such a big city, and any big events going on, it's just so big, you don't know. So I do, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I do believe the city is going to swallow up the event, even an event as big as the Super Bowl, which to me is another reason why you do it in these, one, warm weather, but also smaller markets that, that really, you know, put their arms around the game, right? And really,
right.
really, you know, devote themselves to the game.
I know next year is in Arizona, and then the year after that's in San Francisco and then Houston. So we'll certainly not see a cold weather game for quite some time.
Well, remember years ago, they only did them. In, I mean, back in the early days, I think they did like, I don't even know the exact numbers, like five of the first eight in Miami, you know?
And Miami and the Rose Bowl, right.
And the Rose Bowl in New Orleans, the old Tulane Stadium, before they built the Superdome, hosted a few Super Bowls too. And I think, you know, people talk, should there be, I don't know what you guys think, but should there be one Super Bowl town? Like build a Super Bowl city?
No.
You know, I'm kind of with you, Todd, but it's an interesting discussion. I'd rather have it. I like it in New Orleans. I'd love to have it in New Orleans every year myself, but for reasons that aren't just football related, you know?
Well, you certainly introduced me to some unique food when we were down in New Orleans last
year.
Yeah,
we ate well, huh?
Yeah.
Well. That was a great time. We were all over the place. And that's a, you know, listen, people are going to eat well in New York City, obviously, too.
Yeah, I'm just used to this food here. And I think everyone from the Northeast and even in New England, I mean,
so,
the food around this area is pretty much all the same.
One last thing before we move on to breaking down these games. So is there going to be, like, one area where it will feel like the Super Bowl is happening? Like, is there
yes,
going to be
– yes.
Where is that going
to
be?
34th to 42nd Street on – broad on 34th to 42nd on Broadway. They're shutting the whole 10 blocks down. They're going to have, like, a toboggan run, like a sleigh ride kind of man-made sleigh ride thing.
That's Times Square. That's the middle of the city, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right on the edge of Times Square. It ends right, exactly there.
And is that where
the media hotel is, the Sheraton, a little bit north of Times Square, a couple blocks north of Times Square on 7th Avenue.
It's between 52nd and 53rd. Yeah.
What's that?
It's between 52nd and 53rd.
Yeah, so it's not too, you know, it's
not know, that far.
Distance, so.
But, yeah, I'd say anywhere between 30 to 55, 30 Street to 55th Street, in that area, in between, you know, like 7th, 8th, and then, like, back down the 6th and 5th, that's when you'll know the Super Bowl's going on.
Yep.
But if you start going into the Upper West Side or the Upper East Side or downtown or the Financial District, it's not going to be as festive.
Well, you know, let me set an example of how it's different. I remember I didn't go to the game years ago, but when the Patriots played the Rams in Super Bowl 36, me and a bunch of guys went down to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And before the game, Bourbon Street, as Bourbon Street always is, was just a maniacal – I can't even say the word. It was just crazy. It was crazy. And then for the game, it was completely empty. Everyone was in a bar watching the game.
Right.
And then right afterward, immediately afterward, everyone spilled back out onto Bourbon Street. That's where the Super Bowl was happening, not just the game, but the event. And New York isn't really going to have that no matter what. It just doesn't have that. It just doesn't have that central location. It's so big. It's so diverse. You know, try as they might, it's not going to be the same thing.
Like, Todd, you should probably take your son out of school for a day and bring him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he would enjoy that.
What would he be able to do?
There's, like, different, like, you know, throw passes. Like, there's different, like, the NFL experience.
Yeah,
like
NFL experience is all a family-friendly thing. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's like, you know, you're running through, you're running drills, and you're running around cones, and you're doing the 40, and you're jumping.
Nice.
Like, just different cool stuff. I don't know. If I was 9, I'd be want to do that.
That's
all
awesome.
Over. Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Catching passes, and, like, there's autograph signings, and, like, different, what is it called? Like, different historical, like, little booths that you, like, walk through and, like, gives you all these different facts, and it has all, like, handprints from a bunch of Hall of Famers. It's just pretty cool.
This is why football fans got to go to the listeners out there, want, you know, I'm sure it's on every football fan's bucket list to go to the Super Bowl, but honestly, the game is almost anticlimactic. Even just to be in the city where it's being held, there's so much going on. Every famous person in America is there. It's really festive. It's almost like a massive high school football game, right? For
right.
a small town, but
right.
it's America's high school game, you know, where everyone's kind of into it. And it really is, you know, listeners out there, you know, put it on your bucket list if you haven't. Even if you don't go to the game, just to go and be a part of it. Because the game, like I said, the game is almost anticlimactic. To all the events going on, all the parties, all the celebrations, outdoor concerts, famous people. I mean, it's just awesome. It's a great, great experience.
And I think for the
the audience that is listening to us on Patriots.com, if you're in the New England area or if you're in the Northeast area, you should try to get down there for a night or two. Because, like I said, the hotels aren't crazy expensive. If last year in New Orleans or the year before in Indianapolis, you were dropping like a couple grand just to stay a few hours away. This is not the case. I mean, you'll be in New York City for maybe, you know, $500, $700 over a three-night stay.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, New York does, you know, it's that's what I'm saying. The city swallows up the event because there's always something like this going on in New York.
Right.
There's always big conventions and big this and big that. And you know, that's why it's the center of the world, right? I mean, it's built for mega events, you know, and for people all over the world. So, oh, no, we'll see. Either way, we got a big game coming up, and that's the fun part.
Kevin, as a Patriots fan, let's assume that you didn't work for the Pats and you wouldn't be on the sidelines for the big game if they win. If you were just a regular fan, if they made it to the Super Bowl, would you rather stay home in the Boston area and watch at your local sports bar where you know all your friends will be, or would you try to make it down to New York City or wherever the location is?
If I could go to the Super Bowl with a friend or my dad, one person, I would totally rather go.
You got it.
I think you're looking at probably one night in a hotel, easy drive or a train ride. I'd probably drive, actually, just so I had my car and I wouldn't have – it'd be easy to get around.
Right. That's not necessarily the case here, but go on.
No, but, I mean, you could drive and stay on kind of the outskirts of the city, then take public transportation. You know, that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, okay.
I would love to go down. I'm not that much of a homebody and kind of a cranky old guy where I just want to not bother with it. I think it's an easy enough trip for somebody in this area where, you know, you've never had an opportunity like this before. You know, I think it opens a lot of doors to a lot of different people who don't like to travel to be able to go, you know, that distance, drive 3 hours. And
I mean, it's drivable. I mean, you know.
it's a real easy drive.
Hey, I've driven over 1,000 miles to 2 Super Bowls. I drove to the one in Miami from Boston, and I drove to the one in New Orleans last year. I'm looking on a map. Driving from Boston and Miami is like driving from London to like Turkey.
Yeah, Europe. It's ridiculous.
I mean, you would literally drive clear across Europe. That's how small Europe
but
is.
But I mean, to be able to go down and like I was talking to my father about this. Like you could find like, you know, some Holiday Inn maybe like even like 45 minutes outside. You know what I mean? And stay there. And if you had your car, maybe you could take it to, like, some sort of commuter rail or something to get you in the city, you know? You can do it pretty cheap. It's just the tickets, the problem.
Bill, where was that place we stayed last year? Because last year we did a whole tailgate, the Football Nation team did, for on Fox and Friends, on Fox News.
Right.
In New York City before the game. But we stayed in some, we had an RV with us. We stayed at some less than four-star hotel. Across the bridge in Jersey. I forget exactly what town we were in, but...
I think you were in Fort Lee.
Yeah, we might have been in Fort Lee, right through the tunnel then. Yeah. But it was just... because we couldn't park the RV in the middle of Manhattan, so we had to stay over there. But that was fun, man. That was a good time.
And then that super Sports Illustrated swimsuit model joined us in the RV.
Oh, that's right. What was her name?
That really kicked off things.
What was her name?
Jessica Perez.
That's right. We met Miss America.
Sports Illustrated swimsuit model and Miss America.
And Miss America we had with Matt Light, by the way, Kevin.
Yeah, with Matt Light.
Matt Light and Miss America came out to our New Orleans pregame tailgate party Friday, I think, before the game. Down in New Orleans. We had quite a star-studded experience, but that's what the Super Bowl is like.
I was with you for the start of that. Remember, I came up to see you guys in the RV when you were up at Davio's.
Oh, at Davio's.
Yes, sir, Davio's.
My boy Butchie.
Right.
Yeah, Butchie made the trip down. It was good, man. It was a good time, a lot of fun. So, just invite your listeners if they can get out there to do it one of these days.
That's the point that we're trying to make. If the Pats are in it, or even if you just have a couple of days off and you're a big football fan, try to make your way to New York City. If you're in the Boston area, it's not that far, and it's not going to be that expensive. You think about any other Super Bowl, probably in the next 5 to 8 years, you're talking plane tickets, and you're talking really expensive hotel.
Exactly. Hey, I mean, if you get the chance to get tickets, you got to go. You got to go.
No, absolutely. But you can have fun without actually going to the game. I've had more fun not going to the game than I have. One cool thing about New York City is because it's such a magnet, it has sports bars for every pro and college team in America, right?
Yeah, yep.
So there's plenty of Patriots bars. There are 49ers bars, Seahawks bars. You know, whoever's in it, Broncos fans. They'll be organically already some sort of gathering spot for fans of that team.
And absolutely.
Not to mention the official team-sponsored ones and the local media-sponsored ones. You know, there'll be all kinds of stuff going on, no matter who's in it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually really excited about just that whole week leading up to the game. I already told my girlfriend that even though, you know, it's in New York City, don't plan on me coming home for a couple of nights. Because not too well. She goes, what do you mean? You know, the last couple of years, like, Carrie, when we went to Indianapolis, I was gone for 2 weeks. We drove out, and we stayed, it was, you know, 10, 12 days I was gone. Last year we went to New Orleans, same thing. I was gone about 8 days. This year I was like, oh, I won't have to travel, don't worry. But now that, like, we're getting closer and closer to it, I'm like, you know what? I'm probably not going to be home a couple of nights. Like, I may just crash at, you know, I have a lot of friends that live in New York.
Bill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's... I've been married 14 years. That conversation never gets any easier.
You know, and the follow, like, a weekend after that or 2 weekends after that is Valentine's Day, so I hope to make up for it by then.
Yeah.
So...
You're going to have to.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So what do you think this weekend, gentlemen?
You know, we're going to save our picks for Thursday,
okay,
Kerry.
All right.
To add a little suspense to our shows, but I do want to talk to you about the way the Patriots beat up on the Colts. You have some great stats in terms of how many teams ran for 6 rushing touchdowns in a game before, and Brady's record when he doesn't throw an interception, or even Brady's record when the Pats don't have a passing touchdown.
Well, let me throw out this first, my cold hard football fact of the week. Especially for Patriots fans, the number one scoring offense in football over the second half of the season was your New England Patriots.
Okay.
They scored 300 points since week 9. The Broncos, 287.
Wow.
So, you know, we started in the middle of the season, including last week, the Patriots were actually the highest scoring offense. And I think that's something, you know, you can hang your hat on. As for that performance, you know, guys, there have been 3 times in NFL history as a team rushed for 6 or more touchdowns in a playoff game. Once was in 1940. And
wow.
Then it never happened again until 1993. The 49ers did it, then the Patriots did it. So we're talking not just a great rushing performance, but a historically good one. And I'd invite fans from out to Cold Hard Football Facts, check out the story we wrote this today. Get Tough or Die, New England's 17-minute moment of truth about how the Get Tough or Die Patriots kind of returning to their old school roots, and I think that might bode well for them and their hopes of winning a Super Bowl.
Kerry, somewhere on the Twitterverse today, I saw a stat, and I don't remember who tweeted it. I don't think it was a big-time outlet, but they said that, and I don't know if you can confirm this, they said Tom Brady has 75 passing attempts over his last 3 games, which is the least amount in his career over a 3-week or 3-game period.
That doesn't sound right. It's possible. I mean, I could look it up. I don't know. I know a lot of things off the top of my head, Todd. I don't know that. I'd have to look that up. It seems like it would be lower than that because there were games early in his career where he might have thrown 18, 20 passes, but we'll see. You know, listen, people always say, oh, you know, he's kind of a game manager, and Peyton Manning was always the big-armed guy who was throwing the ball down the field, but the reality is, you know, Tom Brady has, you know, more games of 50-plus attempts than almost any quarterback in history. And not only that, he has the best record in NFL history when throwing the ball 50 more times. So he's really proven an ability to carry his team. And I think if for the Patriots, it's a great luxury now. If they have this battering ram running back and LeGarrette Blount and 2 other pretty good ball carriers, if they can ride that running game and Tom Brady can be your safety net, that's a pretty powerful combo. And the more I look at this game, the more I'm feeling the Patriots, and I wasn't right away. Right away my instinct was the Colts, you know, the Broncos were the better team and they're going to win. But the more I'm looking at New England's recent production, I like the fact that Tom Brady's not throwing it a lot. I think that's a good sign because quarterbacks who throw it a lot usually aren't winning the game. And that's a good comfortable place to be right now, I think.
Well, again, we'll break that all down on Thursday. Any other, incredible stats or trends that you saw from the 4 games this past weekend, Kerry, that you wanted to share with the audience?
Well, you know, I think the really big thing, obviously, is that, you know, the powerful defensive teams are playing in one conference and the offensive teams are playing in the other conference in the AFC. And, you know, I think what we're looking at is almost a kind of a sea change in the NFL because we have the old guns and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the AFC, and they can't. They've dominated for more than a decade. They're not going to do it much longer. They're just not. You know, there's only been five quarterbacks who were 37 or older who went to Super Bowls. These guys are on that cusp. And then in the NFC, you got what the future might look like. Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning of the future. I think so far they've proven that they're pretty damn good quarterbacks. And I'm wondering if that could become the Tom Brady Peyton Manning rivalry of the future. I think this is a great game for them to start building that legacy. I'm looking forward to that one.
That's an interesting point. I don't think it'll ever get to this level. Obviously, you know, the Brady Manning, that's pretty high expectations.
Yep.
But you know, one of the reasons that the Manning Brady thing is so interesting is they played, this will be the 15th time.
Yeah.
Well, Russell Wilson and Kaepernick are, you know, in the same division. So they're guaranteed to play each other twice a year.
Exactly, yeah.
So they might get to that 15, you know, if they can actually string careers together where they play for 6-7 years, you know, they will approach, you know, 15, 16, 17 times will they play each other. Will they be the stars of the team, or will it be predicated on the defense? You know, by then, who knows? But
well, the amazing thing is that those 15 meetings between Brady and Manning, the most ever between non-divisional quarterbacks.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, go back old school, and obviously there were different conferences, but I think Joe Montana and Jay Marino played three times.
Yep.
Once in Super Bowl 19 and two other times in their career. So that was not a rivalry head-to-head.
Dan Marino and Jim Kelly were in the same division, so that's not necessarily, you know, you can't really count those games either.
No, they weren't in the same division. They were in the AFC East and AFC West.
Marino and Jim Kelly?
Oh, I thought you said Elway and Jim Kelly. I'm sorry. Yeah, Marino and Jim Kelly were. Yeah, yeah. I thought you said Elway. My apologies.
The difference there, though, Bill, was with those two, they didn't have that many meetings that I can remember in the playoffs.
Right. It was all regular season.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about Brady and Manning is they seem to play every year in the regular season because of the way the schedule plays out. They're always, you know, first place teams.
Right.
And then they always seem to, you know, every couple of years they play in the playoffs. And
well, this is what? Their fourth time meeting in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even that's rare. And we'll have all those numbers finalized because we looked at it a year or two ago, calling it the greatest rivalry in NFL history for those reasons, because never has a tandem of statistically prolific Hall of Fame, MVP, Super Bowl champion quarterbacks played so often in so many meaningful games in both the regular season and in the postseason. It's never happened before. And that's what makes it great. That's what makes it unique. It really is. And there's not a lot of them left, you know, so fans, I'm sure, are all going to enjoy it this weekend.
We were kind of making the case that not only is it the greatest rivalry in NFL, but in sports, because we tried to think about two prime athletes in the prime of their careers, or two prime stars, like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And we think the Manning and the Brady rivalry is much more significant, only for the fact that they're both considered the best at their position.
Yeah, I think in the Johnson-Bird example, one way to look at that, though, those guys won 8 championships in the space of about 10 or 11 years.
Yep.
And that's obviously significantly more than 4 in whatever it's been, 12 or 13 years for Brady and Manning.
Right.
So I think that's one difference. And obviously in that sport, you know, they're head-to-head the whole time. You know what I mean? And that was my age. You know, I was a teenager when they were playing. So not that I'm a big basketball guy, but that was something special. It really was.
Yeah.
It really was a special rivalry, and it turns out they ended up liking each other, which kind of almost took away from it later on. But, you know, when you're at that level, who else understands you? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, who does Tom Brady commiserate with?
Right.
There's only a few guys who get you, and Peyton Manning would be one of them. I don't think they're best buddies, but they seem to have a cordial relationship, and I think, you know, they know each other's world in a way that, you know, you or I never will.
And that brings up a great point, because that's one of the reasons why Peyton chose the Denver Broncos, because of the relationship with John Elway.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes perfect sense, you know. And there's a guy in Elway who couldn't win the big game. Remember that?
Yep.
He had all these great comebacks, but they always ended up falling short. He lost, three Super Bowls, right?
Yeah.
And not only did he lose them, guys, he played terribly. Go look at John Elway's Super Bowl numbers in those first three games. He was awful. He was awful in all three of those games, including, by the way, the biggest blowout in Super Bowl history. They lost 55-10 to the 49ers in one of those games. I mean, that was an ugly, ugly day. They just didn't even show up, and he was awful. But granted, to a better team, but, you know, there's not a lot of NFL games won by that much. So, you know, he still had something to prove, and he lived with that, you know, that charge for more than a decade that he couldn't win the big game.
Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. We'll certainly have you back on Thursday once, you know, we're starting to preview the AFC and NFC Championship games. We definitely appreciate you joining us here today. And get ready for the Super Bowl. Coming in 2 weeks, we're going to have a lot of fun in New York City.
Should be fun. I'll talk to you soon, gentlemen.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. You can follow Kerry on Twitter, at FootballFacts. And, of course, check out his stuff, ColdHardFootballFacts.com.
Yes, I'm getting excited for the Super Bowl, Bill. And hopefully we're doing shows next week with the Patriots, and we can talk much more about it and really give a full breakdown of where we're going to be and what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
You think?
I think if Kevin makes the trip, it'd be a lot of fun.
I promise, yeah, that would be interesting.
Kev?
What?
You don't want to go?
No, I want to go. I don't want to jinx it, and I think there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, I thought for sure that I was going to be in New Orleans last year. It was absolutely, I mean, we were hosting the game against the Ravens, had rooted for the Ravens, you know, to beat Denver, had called and predicted that game. I was on cloud nine. I was riding high, and then boom, your whole world comes crumbling down. So I'm not getting my hopes up.
All right.
Because this game, I think this game is going to be, you know, probably more difficult than that one. You know?
Fair enough.
There's a lot of things to overcome before we get to cross that bridge.
Kevin,
cross the old George Washington Bridge, if there's any lanes open, Bill. If there's any lanes
Kevin,
open.
We're going to
not be.
We're going to break down these games on Thursday, talk about them a lot. However, I have a weird feeling one of the two games this weekend is going to be an epic game, like an epic.
So
like fourth quarter craziness. Game would you think would have the crazy?
I think the Patriots Denver game, and I have the same weird feeling in the pit of my stomach, Todd, that it is just going to be not necessarily. It doesn't have to necessarily be a shootout with both teams in the 30s. It could be in the 20s, but I have a feeling it's going to be a very hard fought, competitive, nip and tuck, close, like, you know, instant classic type game.
I totally agree.
And I just have had that feeling since Sunday night, and, you know, maybe TMI for you guys, but I tossed and turned in bed all night Sunday night just thinking about this game. And, like, I was up. I remember looking over at the clock, and, you know, I tried to go to bed at, like, 11:30, and I remember looking over at the clock, and it was after 2, and I still hadn't fallen asleep yet, just thinking about it.
Kevin needs his rest.
No, I need my binky in my bottle. Just go sleep.
Your but Brady
I,
bottle?
I haven't been able to sleep in two nights. Last night was the same thing. I just get so the matchup is just so intriguing, and it's just, you know, there's so much hype surrounding this game. A lot of people are saying it's the biggest game outside of a Super Bowl in NFL history.
I would think it's up there.
You know, you get two of the greatest quarterbacks when it's
Here's
all said and done.
I just have a feeling this is the last time they're going to meet.
Yeah, there's that element
of
it too.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, there's that element of it too. I mean, there's so many different intriguing things. And when you look at both teams and how they stack up and the injuries on both sides of the ball and how each team has kind of evolved throughout the year, there's so many things to think about when trying to, you know, take a stab at least at forecasting how it's going to come out, you know? So it's just, I'd sit there in my bed. Be like, all right, I gave this an hour. I can't go to sleep. Open up the computer, you know, surf around on Twitter, you know, go on NFL.com, go on Football Nation, read some material, try to figure out what the heck's going to happen. You know, that's what this game's doing. Like, I haven't felt like this about any game since the Super Bowl in the 2011 season, which was technically in 2012 calendar year. I haven't felt like this in well over a year.
It's certainly different from... Yes, the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, Brady and Peyton Manning, are playing this weekend in the AFC Championship. And it's different than, remember like when the Niners and the Cowboys would always meet in the NFC Championship?
Yep.
And we'd always knew that whoever won the NFC Championship would win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like that game was bigger than the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Like I remember like them just beating up on the Chargers or the Steelers in the Super Bowl. And it's not like that this weekend. With the winner of the AFC, not necessarily, I don't think they're necessarily going to win the Super Bowl.
No, I don't either. I don't
know.
Either.
I think the Niners are legit. I think the Seahawks are too.
Yeah.
So I think it adds to the excitement for me.
Yeah, no, and I'm totally with you, Bill. This is one of those rare years Where when you're looking at it, now I know San Fran's a 5 seed, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't, like, in my opinion, from the eyeball test on what I've seen over the course of 17 weeks plus playoffs,
right,
I strongly and firmly believe that the four teams that are left are the best four teams.
That's what we said at the top of the show.
There's not one team that kind of caught lightning in a bottle or, like, pulled an upset, you know, like the Broncos beat the Steelers a couple of years ago with Tebow. There's none of those teams in
the
final.
Or the Ravens or the Giants.
Yeah, there's none of these teams in the final. Like, these teams are solid. Like, they're very different. You know, they have different characteristics on each side of, you know, the way the NFC plays. And those two NFC teams, you know, there's no argument. They're better defensively. No question, right?
Right.
And you could make the argument that on the AFC side, maybe they have a little bit more offense, you know? So there's a little bit of a contradictory style. And when you see that Denver or New England go up against San Fran or Seattle, it'll be one style versus another style, right? And that'll be even, you know, add to the intrigue. But it's great to have, like, the cream of the crop of this great league, like, still left standing in this, and that, like, it makes the whole day. Sunday's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Are you kind of upset that the Pats and the Broncos aren't the later game?
Not necessarily.
I am.
I mean, it's tough. You get, so both games are happening. One's in Mountain Time, one's in Western Time, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, you have to have.
You're asking me what time zone these guys are in?
Denver's
barely can point out Denver on a map.
Denver's in the mountain.
Yeah, so it's a 2 hour and 3 hour difference from the east. So they both have to be kind of on the later side. Because you don't want to have, I mean, say you had like a 1 o'clock kickoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in Denver, that'd be like 11 a.m. You're not going
to. They never do that though, Kev. The times they're using this year, they use every year, no matter where the games are.
Yeah, I don't know. So, all right. So when you take that into consideration, it's just sort of like, I don't know. I guess the Pats could be. The Pats and the Broncos could have a beef, but don't they just flip flop?
They flip flop.
So it's just kind of like it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think that the league was just like, you know, trying to slight them by any stretch.
No, I think it's all networks. Yeah. Vying for prime time. And all
no,
that.
And from a personal standpoint, Bill, you know, I would sort of rather have them play second, so I could like watch a little bit of the game first. You know, mm-hmm. the first game, the Seattle San Francisco game. The way this is gonna shake down is, I'm either gonna be too pissed to watch the second game, or I'm gonna be so busy running around like a crazy man, not only doing the post game show but preparing for a Super Bowl that I'm probably not going to. So either way, I'm probably not going to get to pay the attention to it that I would like to, the attention that it deserves, because it's going to be a great game. So from a viewer standpoint for me, I think I would get more out of it and I would enjoy that NFC game more if it was on the early side.
Mm. If you were just a fan not having to work and your team lost in the AFC Championship game, would you bother watching the second game?
I mean, I would probably tune in for pieces of it, but I would need to go take a walk or something.
I've had that happen to me. I can't even stomach it.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably check in on it, but I wouldn't sit there and be glued to it. I would probably need to take a walk or, you know, maybe fly out to Colorado, smoke some weed, something like that, just mellow out for a while.
What the heck?
You know, it's legal out there now, right?
Yeah, that kind of just
left field.
We were talking about it earlier, like, because everyone in the travel party is like.
No, we weren't.
No, no, on PFW, they were like, Everyone in the travel party is like, so just because we're not like citizens of the state and we're just visiting, does that mean we can toke up too? So
and then it
creates the mess where can you toke up in the stadium since it's legal? You know, who knows? It can be a giant fishbowl there at Mile High on Sunday. Mile High. Everyone's high. Yeah.
We need a break for the show. We're just going 2 hours straight.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into, I don't know, champs and the chumps from the divisional weekend. We'll also break down some of these matchups. We'll probably do the Saturday games first. Pats, Colts, Saints, Seahawks. Glenn Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider. He'll join us a little bit later. That's all coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
There's no hope with Joe.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation here on Patriots.com Radio. Todd DeVries, Bill Enright, Kevin Collins, figure out who's who and kind of did it in a jumbled order there. But by now, I mean, it's middle of January. I'd think the people listening should know who's who.
They certainly know who you are.
It's my show.
Yeah, it's your show. It's the Bill Enright Show.
The Bill Enright Show with Todd and Kev.
Bill Enright's Wacky Picks. With special guests.
Something like
Todd that. And Kevin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just Is had that a, where we're at, Kevin?
No, just had a ballsy gamesmanship play come through on the tweet box. The Broncos have picked up Marquise Cole, who spent most of the year with the Patriots and whose locker, as of yesterday, was still intact in our locker room.
Yeah, how'd that work for the Colts last week?
Yeah, I know. I'm sick of this stuff. It doesn't make any
sense. I'm just saying, though, it's gamesmanship, though. Let the games begin.
They already played each other once.
Are the Pats going to have to sign a punter? What are they doing?
I saw on Twitter today that as of 4 o'clock, they hadn't reported that that they had worked one out. So if they work one out tonight, it would get reported tomorrow, I guess, by league rule. But the fact that they didn't work one out earlier in the day leads me to believe that Ryan Allen's going to be okay. So that's just me guessing, but there's no way in heck they'd go into the game without a punter, because even if Gostowski punted well, if anything ever happened to him, you'd be screwed.
Yeah,
right.
So there's gonna be a second kicker, a punter on the roster. It's just a question of whether it be somebody off the street or Ryan Allen. And the fact that there's no reports of them working out kickers today leads me to believe that Ryan Allen's MRI came out okay.
Are we gonna talk about that punter play now, or are we talking about it later? Because Bill, that was an interesting play, one that I thought that the announcer, Dan Dierdorf, completely butchered.
See, Kevin, you probably don't understand what we're talking about because you were on the sidelines.
Yeah, so I have no idea what you're talking
about.
All
right, here's what, the punter play, obviously, that we're all talking about, the snap over his head, the ball's bouncing back to the two-yard line, right? I'm thinking in my head, Kevin, and maybe you will disagree, I'm thinking in my head, this punter is going to, A, kick it through the end zone.
That's what I thought in my head.
B, scoop it and run it out of the end zone, or C, scoop it up and take a knee in the end zone.
So since, right. Yes, since he was facing backwards.
His momentum is clearly going that
way. I thought he was just going to boot it out the back.
Something that would result in a safety.
Yes.
Okay. Yes,
and
would be...
And that seems to be the standard play for kickers in that situation.
Absolutely. So that goes through our heads as it happens. We all know what actually happened. He made a boneheaded play that luckily...
He's a rookie, yeah.
Turned into a safety anyway.
Good scare.
Right? Dan Dierdorf, the color commentator for CBS,
we did a nice little ceremony for him, by the way, that I'm sure you guys didn't see.
We had him on our show once, actually.
Yeah, we acknowledged that it was his last game, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and all this. And he was a guest of the show. He's a friend of the show. So.
Well, he goes on a rant, Kevin, about how that was a terrible play.
Yeah.
And how he should have gone down at the two.
Yeah,
because
he said,
I'm kind of paraphrasing him here, Bill, but you chime in if I'm wrong.
No,
he basically
you're right.
said two things. He said, you can't give up points there.
Right.
And he said, give your defense a chance to hold him to a field goal.
Get your defense back out on the field and give him a chance.
All right. Well,
what do you give him a chance from, the two-yard line?
Yeah, being the idiot savant that I am, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the score was 21-10.
Yes.
So, yes, you can give up points there and still be okay. And if you give them the ball first and goal at the two, most NFL teams, I would say, especially that are in the playoff, if you're worthy of being in the divisional round of the playoffs, are probably going to score a touchdown. And at worst, it's an extra point for arguably one of the greatest kickers in NFL history, Adam Vinatieri.
And 3 points is worth more than two.
Yeah, so I don't really get, I think everything that you just said that he said, from what I can see, is wrong in my opinion. But that's just me. I'm just one.
I was going nuts.
I'm not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well.
You know.
But Kevin, the point that we're trying to make is, if
you want to save your team points, taking the safety is the right move.
Yes.
Because the field goal is 3 points, and if you get down on the two-yard line, you'll probably get a touchdown.
Exactly.
So that's seven.
Yeah, it's most likely going to be a touchdown, yes. No, I agree. And it's, you know, and this is way down the list of priorities, it's just a safer football play for your kicker, too.
Well,
so he's not
going to
get killed.
Todd immediately texted me. He goes, what is Geardorf talking about? Say, give your defense a chance to do what?
Yeah. I mean, the defense is probably thankful that they, you know.
Here's the thing, Kevin. It's one thing, spur of the moment, you're announcing the game. And
you have to correct it when you make a mistake. Yeah,
He came back out of commercial, and he was still talking about it.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
He's better than that.
Yeah.
And he was very gracious with us and told us some funny stories. And he's better than that, but it's clearly like he's getting to the end of the line. You know, maybe he can't process information that quick, or I don't know what it is, but he's getting up there. So it's probably time that he steps aside and lets somebody else do it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I thought it was a fortunate play for the Patriots. Yeah.
It was. In light of what Ryan Allen did, it was the best possible outcome.
Exactly. Yep. We said that earlier tonight, too.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line.
Here's a question, hypothetical. What he was trying to do was throw it. At the very end, when he fumbled, if you look, it seemed to me he was trying to throw it, but he didn't get a chance to. No? Am I wrong on this?
Yeah, he was trying to throw it, yes.
All right, if he just throws it like a five-yard duck, what's the call?
I think...
Because the ball was at the 44-yard line?
I think,
so where what happens?
I think on a muff, I'm not 100% sure. I have to look up on the rule book. But I think on a muff like that, on a snap, I think it would go to where he attempted the pass. But then it opens up the whole can of worms of he's between the tackle boxes and he's obviously not going to reach the original line of scrimmage. So it's going to be grounding because there's obviously going to be no eligible receiver anywhere near him. 40 yards from the line of scrimmage backwards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he would be within the tackle box, and he wouldn't be able to reach the line of scrimmage. So those are the two grounding things, right? I mean, those are the two conditions, which they call. So I think it would have created a complete mess if he had picked it up. It, you know, with the way the officiating has gone this year, it probably would have taken 45 minutes for them to sort that out. You know?
Well, because that was one of the first things that went through my mind, because to me it looked like he was like thinking about throwing the ball. And obviously, he didn't get his arm back, you know, in a forward motion or anything.
Yeah,
but I was wondering.
I think Coach Belichick would probably know the answer off the top of his head.
Sure.
But I heard him say a couple times this week that, you know, the safety was the best thing that could have happened there. So I feel like, you know, I feel like the ball would have been placed at the point where he threw the ball.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think they would have got. So if, you know, for Coach, like, I think if the option was for Ryan Allen to pick that ball up and try to chuck it out of bounds as far as he could, mm-hmm. and just, you know, either take it back to the 40 if he somehow reached the line of scrimmage and got out of town or whatever, you know, I think Coach Belichick would have said, oh, like, he should have done that, you know? But to,
right.
you know, for him to say, I think, basically, that, you know, the safety is kind of like what we wanted there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, was kind of the best thing for us to happen there. I think that lets you know that more than likely Indianapolis would have got the ball at the point where he threw it, and they might have even got penalized half the distance of the goal for grounding two on top of it, which might have put it at the one. Like, who knows? But it just – I think the standard training guys at, like, most levels of football, whether it's peewee all the way up through professional, is when you're in that situation and the ball's dribbling back toward your goal line and you've got heat coming from the backside and you can't tell how far away they are, is to just boot it and take the 2 points, you know?
Totally.
Just eat the 2 points.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's what you see
them
do.
I think that's what most special teams coaches would coach the kicker to do.
Yes.
I just think Ryan Allen might have thought, all right, this was a rocket that went over my head. I'm pretty quick. If I can get up,
maybe I can kick it.
Pick it up in turn, I might be able to either A, kick it, or B, try to throw it. You know, I don't know. I mean, my guess is he was going to try to kick it and then turn and realize, holy crap, you know, they're right
yeah.
here. what can I do? I don't want to die. And maybe thought, oh, I can try to throw an incomplete pass.
Because sometimes, you know, there is not a pump block on from the opposing team.
Yeah, if you get a return, right, where you have the gunners for the punting team both double-teamed on the edges there, and you have guys dropping back and they only send three or four guys, the kicker sometimes has time to go
run a few steps and at least
kick it maybe like sideways or something like that, you know, and only take like a 10-yard loss or something like that.
Yep.
Depending where you are on the field. And, you know, in college, Todd, we see, I know you're the college guy, we see so often these guys, you know, literally roll out of the
rugby style.
Yeah, the rugby style. And that takes forever to develop.
So they block it that way, though.
Yeah.
Intentionally. Yeah. We do.
See that. But it's just like you literally just like the guy runs out and almost just, it looks like he's waiting on purpose to give his guys time to get down the field, you know?
Yeah.
And it literally, those kicks can be a real like nightmare for the return team, because if he hits a line drive 30 yards and it starts bouncing all over the place, and you know, with him having waited, you know, that amount of time to get rid of the kick, the receiving team has bodies all over the place. So it's like the odds of it hitting somebody and becoming a live ball go up exponentially.
Right.
So I don't know.
Now, what do we want to do here? Want to keep talking about this game? Some of the key plays in this game, Bill?
Yeah. Let's stay with it.
Kevin, I get your opinion on this one. I thought probably the most underrated key play of this game was the 53-yard pass from Tom Brady to Danny Amendola.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge play.
On first down from their own 12, when the game – the only point in the game when I thought the Colts had a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way the game was going. Yeah, they had some life. And first – I actually texted Bill, and I just said, dagger. He's like, what are you talking about? Because he was right, kind of. I mean, they were still early in the third quarter, but I just thought that was it, man. I thought they were going to use that 53-yard pass, go in and score, go up a couple touchdowns, and that was going to be the end of it.
Yep.
And it kind of was. I mean, the Colts did score again, but it just seemed to me that that play just – that was just a ballsy play call on first down. I think it was play action, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. And it just burned him.
No, it's a good – and I mean, he was wide open. And, I mean, you can make the argument that most other receivers – I mean, T.Y. Hilton scores with 30 yards to spare on that play. I think it shows you a little bit about Amendola's his condition in terms of his groins and stuff like that. But, no, that was a huge play. And, you know, sometimes you know, Todd, you got that feeling after that play. Like, all right, that was the game. Like, that was a huge play. And at this point in the game, it's just going to be too much for the Colts to come back. When I'm sitting there kind of on the sideline doing my job, I get the feeling in my stomach a lot of, all right, this is like one of maybe two or three at most huge moments in the game where I think that the game could either end or it could shift dramatically. Where I got the feeling, and it's just so strange, and I think it's just from being around this team so much the last 4 years, they were up, I believe it was, what was it? I think it was 36-22 in the early in the fourth quarter. It was like the Jamie Collins pick, in other words, is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
You guys remember that?
36-22, there was 12 minutes left.
So there's still
what a
ton
game
of,
for him. Tremendous game.
Still a ton of time left, right? And captain, you know, two possession game, still a ton of time left. Probably more than two possessions left for the Colts in this game. So I started to get this feeling of, all right, Patriots kick off. After, I believe it was LeGarrette Blount's huge rumble to make it 36-22.
Yep.
So the joint's jumping, the Patriots kick off, everyone's going nuts because Blount just ran 73 yards for a touchdown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the place is going bananas. On the very first play from scrimmage of that drive, I believe it was Anthony Costanzo, the Colts left tackle.
False starts. Yep.
So, and I'm doing this all off my head, Todd, so correct me if I'm wrong. So the crowd even gets more whipped up, and we flash like the thank you, you know, fans thing up there for the false start that we do. Blast the foghorn. It gets even louder. And I think it was on the very next play, through the pick.
Yep.
But right after that false start, I just kind of like turned and like looked around and like took everything in for a minute when the Colts were in the huddle. And I was like, this is going to be the possession. Like, it's coming. Like, it, you know, the game is going to end on this possession. It's coming. And, like, very next play, boom, Jamie Collins jumps in front of him. By the way, you said, Bill, like, hell of a game for him. He had a sack. He had a bunch of other plays. But when he picked that ball off, you know, it was so far downfield, and he caught it so cleanly and made such a nice play on the ball, I thought he was Aqib Talib. Like, I really
the
did.
The way he had happened.
Yeah, I didn't see the number right away. Yeah. I just saw the one, and I was like, oh, I was like, that's Tlaib. And I looked, and I was like, oh, that's too big to be Tlaib, you know? And I was like, holy Moses. I was like, what an athletic play to be covering that far downfield and mm-hmm. be able to step in front, catch it cleanly, and then get right into the return game. You know, he looked like a defensive back. So, you know, going into the Denver game this week, you know, if he ends up for a period of the game on a guy like Julius Thomas in space, I'm not going to feel as bad about it after watching that play. I don't know how you guys feel.
Bill, how do you feel? What do you mean?
Yeah. No, how do you feel about, like, if Jamie Collins, if they match him up with a guy like Julius Thomas trying to cover him?
I don't think that can happen, dude.
I think it can happen. I think he's as fast as Julius Thomas. I think you'll see a little bit of it, too, depending on how other things go.
You really better not hope that's the
I mean, they left him on Fleener for a large – and I know Fleener isn't Julius Thomas.
Totally different.
But I don't think Fleener's a complete dud. I don't think
I think he's an unathletic, goofy white guy.
Really? Okay. See, I think Fleener – I don't think Fleener's an athletic dud as a lot of other people think.
There were a couple plays in that game, man, where he was like – and I was texting Todd, like – he just looked like a goofball out there.
The goofball play you're talking about, Bill, was another critical part of the game when the Colts had the first and goal from the 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And they ran Donald Brown up the middle. No
right.
Gain, and then they brought Trent Richardson in second down. Then they threw the jump ball to Fleener. That's the play you were texting
He
about.
Jumped. I'm telling you, he jumped 5 seconds too early. You know, like in NBA when
was
a player.
Uncoordinated, yeah.
When a player, like, mistimes the rebound.
Yeah.
That's what Fleener did on that jump ball play in the end zone. Like,
yeah,
was not even close.
Terrible play call, by the way.
So who do you think? I personally think, and I would like to see Tlaib take Demaryius Thomas.
Okay.
I think
he might have to.
Yeah, well, I just think that's the best matchup for him. He's better. Tlaib isn't as quick as a lot of these other cornerbacks in the league, and I think he's just better with one of these size guys.
Yep.
And I'm not saying Demaryius is slow, but he's like, you know what I'm trying to say? He's that big
body. He takes
body.
A while to get going.
He's that big body, kind of physical type. You know?
Right.
So I think I'd like to see that matchup. I think that Kyle Arrington did a definitely a respectable job against Wes Welker when the Broncos came here.
Right.
He held him to 4. So I think you might see some more of that.
Okay.
And that's a guy that covered Wes Welker a lot in the slot every day in practice.
Sure.
And then you get Dennard, who my guess is – you know, I'm not sure, but my guess is he would get Decker or whoever the heck else is out there, depending on the formation. That would leave, like, you know, do you put a safety on Julius? Like, who, you know, do you put Jamie Conn? Like, who, you know, what do you do with him? So I think that that's one of the things that I'm looking at this week, and I'll be really intrigued to watch on Sunday, is, like, how do they approach Julius Thomas? Because he's been a major factor for Peyton Manning all season long. So, and I mean, the Chargers clearly forgot about him on the most important play of the game.
Which is absurd.
You know,
17.
So, but I'm just basically asking you guys from, like, and I know we don't talk like a ton of X's and O's or whatever. I'm asking you how you think the Patriots might go about trying to neutralize him because he was not part of that first matchup. He missed that game due to injury.
It's a good point. I think he might have be onto something there, Kevin.
You know, and when I look at it, there are four big components personnel wise. Julius Thomas did not participate in that game. Antonio Rodgers Cromartie, their best defensive cover corner, their most athletic, got hurt on the last play of the first half and was not on the field for any of the points the Patriots scored. Okay? So he was so when the Patriots made their comeback, he was hurt. So you add those two guys in for Denver, but you take away Von Miller. I think the safety would they lose the safety today? Harris Jr. there? Yes or yesterday to the ACL.
Yeah.
Cliff Harris. I think that's like whatever. But the main factor is they didn't have Denver, Julius Thomas, and they didn't have Rodgers Cromartie, and the Patriots did have Gronk.
They did.
You know, so when I look at that, I think that that's a large personnel mountain to climb for the Patriots.
Potentially. They also, LeGarrette Blount had 2 carries for 13 yards in the first meeting.
Yeah, because he fumbled.
November 24th.
I know he fumbled. He took himself out of the game because he fumbled.
I'm just
saying, this is totally different.
The Patriots are adapting, and they're a different team than they were on November 24th.
No, but I think that, like, going back to my original point, like, what I was trying to get at before you guys laughed at me about the Jamie Collins, like, covering Julius thing was, I'm trying to come up with ways.
How
do they approach it? Because it wasn't something they had to face back in November, you know? I think for those that are, like, looking at the game within the game, I think that's an interesting kind of storyline heading into this weekend.
Mm. You know, these two teams obviously played each other, but I think the game's going to be completely different. I mean, the Broncos got off to the big lead. Moreno had 224 yards, 37 carries. It's a totally different world. Everything's different. So, you know, all the scouting and everything that happened in the first game, I just think it's going to go completely differently this time around. I mean, Gronk, yeah. That's a good point with Gronk, too. I mean, Gronk was there, 7 catches, 90 yards and a touch.
He was not only there, he was a major factor.
Major factor.
So it's like, and he's, you know, it was no coincidence that Julian Edelman started getting open and going off in the second half and catching balls 40 yards down the field because, Gronk's creating that, you know?
Peyton Manning, 150 yards that game.
I know they dared Denver to run the ball, and Denver took the bait, and it was what it was. But, I mean, I think I'm with you guys. I think it's going to be a different game. If you recall, that game was really cold. A lot of ball handling issues, obviously, by the Patriots in the first half. I think it's going to be 60 degrees and sunny with no wind. It's going to be like a summer day in Denver.
Wow.
No. There's going to be no conditions to speak of. I'm really curious to see how the Patriots, A, defend Julius Thomas and kind of match up in the back half of their defense, and B, if they come out and try to establish the run like San Diego did that time when they beat them. I personally have a little bit different take on what I think the Patriots are going to do. It's a little bit different. We can get into more of that on Thursday. But I don't necessarily think, and I'm not sold, that they're going to come out and just try to establish Blount and Ridley like right away and just pound it. So we'll see what happens.
They might not be able to, because what happens if the Broncos jump out to an early 7-0 lead or a 10-0 lead?
Yeah, I don't think if the Broncos jump out even to a 14-0 lead, depending on when it is in the first half, that the Patriots will just abandon the run. I know San Diego didn't, and that was part of the thing that did them in. You know, they just kept trying to run the ball even when they were down 14 and clearly wasn't working. And Ryan Matthews, I think, guys, we can all agree, wasn't himself.
No.
He got hurt.
He got hurt, yeah. I mean, he got hurt. Like, and didn't even play. I don't even think he, like, stood up the second half. And then Woodhead got hurt at one point.
And then it was the Ronnie Brown show.
Yeah, which is saying something. But no, I just have, like, you know, you get those weird gut feelings. I just have a weird gut feeling on how I think they'll come out. And it's a little different than what I think 90% of the people have talked about this week on Sports Talk Radio.
The Broncos' weakness is stopping the pass, you know.
28th, I think.
And, you know, the Patriots right now are running the ball great. So, you know, do they try to exploit the secondary?
Yeah,
or do they continue to go with the red-hot running game? You know, that's a great thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, weird matchups and intrigue on you know, both sides of this where, you know, the Patriots have, since the Gronkowski injury, reinvented their offense and become a more heavy, physical, run-oriented team. But then all of a sudden, you're going up against a team that, A, lost their best pass rusher in Von Miller, just lost their starting safety, and has not been able to stop anybody through the air all season long, right?
Yep.
So it's like, it's just a different matchup, and I don't think it's, you know, tremendously great for the Patriots because, you know, you look at Denver guys, right? When they played San Diego, you knew that San Diego wanted to come out and follow that blueprint for how they had beat them earlier in the season at Mile High, and they did. They came up very conservative. I believe that the graphic I saw was that Phillip Rivers didn't complete a pass to a wide receiver in the first half. It was just the backs and the tight end, and that was it. So they came out and were run heavy and, you know, just trying to run screens and, like, little tight end curls and this, that, and the other thing. And it wasn't till Phillip really, you know, had the playbook opened up to him and really kind of went no huddle, you know, in a situation where they had to throw the ball, where, you know, down 17 points in the fourth quarter is where that's when they started to gel and make things happen with Keenan Allen running wild, guys, right?
Yeah.
So when I look at the first half and how it unfolded, I think that Denver adjusted extremely well and looked at the film from the game where San Diego beat them in Denver and said, listen, we let them run the ball, And, you know, they kept our offense off the field. They didn't turn it over. They just kept moving the chains and moving the clock and chewing up clock. We're not going to let them run. I believe John Fox strongly said, we're not going to let them run the ball. And they loaded the box, and they took away Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead, and they forced Phillip Rivers to try to throw. But in the first half, the Chargers didn't adjust quick enough, and they didn't want to throw, and they just stuck with kind of like what their game plan was, and it killed them because by the time they were able to – or by the time they were forced to adjust, it was a 17-point game in the fourth quarter. And that's my take on like what happened. I don't think that'll happen in New England. I think they'll be able to kind of – I think Coach Belichick, one of the things that he does the best is making in-game adjustments and trying to kind of see what the defense is giving them, and you know, him and Josh getting together, like, you know, in between a TV timeout and, all right, we need to do something different here, you know?
Right.
I think it'll be really curious. Like, will John Fox say, listen, New England's been running the ball like crazy the past month. You know, LeGarrette Blount's like a man on a mission. We're going to step up, and we're going to take away the run, and we're going to make, even though our pass defense sucks, we're going to make them throw. Is that what he's going to do, or is he going to just try to back off and dare them to run? Like, who knows? Who knows?
I think the beautiful thing, if you're a Patriots fan, is I think the Patriots can adapt, and they can beat you either way.
Right. That's so, going to be the key. Yeah.
I think they're in good. You know, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be able to score plenty of points on the Denver defense. The question is going to be really what Kevin started off the segment with. I think it's the really intriguing thing is how are the Patriots going to match up against the Denver passing attack. I think that's absolutely critical.
Because don't forget, Todd, Knowshon Moreno can catch a few passes out of the backfield.
Yes, he can.
So if the linebacker is focusing on Julius Thomas, you have to have another pretty athletic linebacker to get Knowshon Moreno out of the backfield. That's what makes the Broncos so dangerous. They have the ability to let a guy like Eric Decker, who had over 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns this year, only catch two passes for 30 yards in a playoff game because they have so many weapons.
And still control the game, yeah.
Right, exactly. That's the scary part about their offense. The Patriots, on the other hand, they don't really have that luxury. It's Amendola, it's Edelman, and it's the three running backs with Ridley, Blunt, and Vereen. So it'll certainly be an interesting game. I'm excited to see if it's going to be more offensive with Brady and Peyton going back and forth, or if it's going to be a little bit of the ground attack and then a mix in Brady and Manning.
We're going to break this down all the way on Thursday, but I think the first quarter is going to be kind of slow. And I think that they're going to kind of feel each other out, and then something's going to kick into overdrive, and I think the rest of the game is going to be exhilarating. So we'll talk about that on Thursday.
Todd, it's time to bring on Field Yates from ESPN NFL Insider, also ESPN Boston, covers the Patriots. Field, second time you're on Football Nation this year. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hey, excited to do it, guys, anytime. And what better game to talk about than the one we have this week? The NFL is as happy as it could possibly be to have two best quarterbacks in the maybe the final 3 to 5 years of their career, the two best quarterbacks, or at least arguably the two best young quarterbacks at the opposite side of the bracket in the NFC.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, this is the 15th matchup between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Even before this game is underway, heading into it, we're about a week out from it, do you think it has the makings to be one of the best matchups between those two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I really think it does. If you think back to the early time in this sort of quote-unquote rivalry, there were questions about whether or not Peyton Manning had what it took to sort of out-chest match Bill Belichick. And then, as you guys probably remember, you know, those Colts defenses were nothing to write home about. As a matter of fact, they were often, you know, more stiff-like than anything else. But this year, this matchup, in terms of the balance that each team has, I don't think there's one glaring weakness and one major advantage that either team has over the other, which is why I think this has the makings of one of the best games between teams featuring Tom Brady and Peyton.
Field, you know, this is an interesting matchup in a number of ways, and Bill and I were just debating. You know, one of the Broncos' weaknesses on defense is stopping the pass. And then you have the Patriots right now who have that red-hot running game. Do you think the Patriots try to attack them with the running game, or do you think they try to exploit that weak secondary?
You know, it goes back to the balance of what the Patriots do offensively, because they are a game plan offense by nature. That means there on Monday and they review the film from Sunday and they look ahead to the next opponent and they say, what does this team do poorly that we can expose? Because we have balanced personnel. We can run the ball, we can throw the ball, but if you look back a few weeks ago in that game against Baltimore, they felt like they had an opportunity to expose what was statistically a pretty good Baltimore run defense. They carried on against Buffalo, carried on last week against Indianapolis. But yeah, the Patriots, if you look at the stat sheet for the Broncos, you see that, like you guys just mentioned, a pretty stout run defense, a pretty poor secondary. So you want to go with what's worth the complaint. Like you mentioned, sort of ride the hot hand, or do you try to take advantage of the holes for them for secondary? I think given how well they've run the ball, given how physical they've been in recent games, and they've been able to overwhelm the decent defensive front, I think the Patriots come out with that a sort of approach to running the football early. If they have to throw it, I think they know they can, because the Broncos don't really have the horses in the secondary to keep up with any passing attack, much less the Patriots passing attack. But I think the Patriots will try to use the Garrett Blunt and Stephen Ridley early to set the tempo.
Field Yates joining us here on Patriots.com radio. You're listening to Football Nation. Field, last week the Colts signed Deion Branch, who we thought was kind of a gamemanship play by them to kind of get some inside insight into what the Patriots are doing on offense. This week, the Denver Broncos signed former cornerback of the Patriots, Marquise Cole. What do you think about that player signing by them?
Yeah, another interesting one, because if you listen to Deion Branch signing last week, I actually thought maybe the Colts felt like they had enough of a depth issue at wide receiver where Branch could actually make an impact. They had Darius Hayward-Bey, who was injured. You remember, they went into last week's game with four wide receivers on the game day roster. That's extremely low, and they were already dealing with a banged-up T.Y. Hilton, who we know battled 33 during the game. This week, the Broncos, they placed quarterback Chris Harris on injured reserve. That means everybody else in the secondary moves up one notch on the depth chart. But Marquise Cole, you know, he wasn't really necessarily on the Patriots roster as much for his defensive acumen as he was as a special teamer. People will probably remember that Miami game in Week 15 when it was Cole who had Mike Wallace at the line of scrimmage in man-to-man coverage. Mike Wallace beat him for what turned out to be a 42-yard touchdown, the game winner for Miami. Cole was much more of a special team player, a gunner, a coverage player, a player who can play on the punt return team.
Yeah.
So I think there's a chance we'll see him on Sunday, unlike what happened with Deion Branch last Saturday night. I don't know that you'll see too many times where Tom Brady is targeting Marquise Cole's pass coverage, though. He could have a much more special team-oriented role.
In the film room, though, do you think Cole provides any type of advantage as they prepare this week?
I think he definitely has some inside information on how the Patriots do things from an X's and O's standpoint. The difference here between he and Branch is, again, Branch hadn't been a part of the system all year, and not the Patriots have overhauled their offense necessarily, but there are certainly some different wrinkles that Branch simply wasn't aware of, whereas in the case of Cole, he knows pretty much what's going on for the Patriots defense. Now, you think to yourself, does Peyton Manning really need help from a defensive back to dissect what a team does on defense? You're talking about one of the smartest quarterbacks in NFL history. That being said, any extra nuggets that Cole can pass along certainly carries the merit. So I do think the Broncos will be picking his brain probably the moment they brought him into the building, which I presume was earlier this afternoon.
Field, you know, these teams obviously played back on November 24th in a strange game with the Broncos getting out to that big lead and the Patriots coming back. How much stock do you put into that game, which seems like it was ages ago? I mean, in that game, Gronkowski played for the Patriots and was a big presence, 7 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Julius Thomas did not play for the Broncos. Is there anything that these two teams can do to look back on November 24th and, you know, bring that to their preparations for this week? Or is that game just eons ago?
Well, I don't think it's going to determine anything for Sunday, but I do think the teams will be studying it closely. Listen, you only get 2 looks at this team throughout the course of the year, so of course you should use the previous matchup as an opportunity to study some of their personnel, find out what worked for you in the first game and what didn't. Now, both teams have acknowledged this week that, hey, we're both very different where we were. You know, I was watching mm-hmm. the game last night, rewatching it, and it's sort of funny, or maybe not funny is the right word, but it's interesting to think that was a game that Stephen Ridley and LeGarrette Blount found themselves in a doghouse for the Patriots. They turned
big time.
Brandon Bolden as their goal line running back. It's amazing how much things change in a matter of less than 2 months. So I think that while the first game will be used for study tool, it's not going to determine anything, and both teams will have very different looks in some ways time around.
Field, stepping away from the Pats and the Broncos, let's take a little bit of a wider look at the NFL. Two head coaching hires with Ken Whisenhunt going to the Titans, Jim Caldwell going to the Detroit Lions. Why is no one taking the Browns and the Vikings job?
Well, the Vikings job might just be a matter of time. It could be that Mike Zimmer, current Bengals defensive coordinator, will end up there. He's had two interviews with the team now. He's a hot commodity in the coaching circle. I think there's a chance he could wind up in Minnesota. They also have their eyes on a couple of 49ers candidates, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, Jim Tomsula, their defensive line coach, both well thought of. So those guys could end up in Minnesota. I think that job still is considered attractive to some. Now, in Cleveland, I think what the surprising part was to me is that if they were going to move as quickly and abruptly as they did on Rob Chesky, my initial thought was, hey, they must have their coach in waiting already lined up.
Right.
Who are we going to bring in to immediately replace Rob Chesky? And, you know, some people believed it was Josh McDaniels. Then there was a report that Josh McDaniels removed his name from consideration
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that he was not considered the front runner, which, from everything that I've been able to gather, talking to people, was pretty much not accurate at all. But Josh McDaniels was very much on the wish list of the Browns, but there were several reasons why McDaniels felt like staying with the Patriots was the right choice at this time. Now, the Browns don't think they're back at square one with no options of having to draw for straws here, but I do think that this has played out differently than what they supposed it would be if they first moved off of Chesky after Texas 12 months on the job.
Final question for you. Your colleague at ESPN NFL Insiders, Chris Mortensen, reported yesterday that Rob Ryan, the defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, hasn't been getting any head coaching interviews because he has long hair. Any kind of truth to this report, Field? What are we going with here?
Well, so I think just to clarify, you know, who is a tied in of the coaching circle, if anybody around the league has been seen here over the past few weeks. I think what he was saying was one of the reasons that Rob Ryan's generating less interest in his most recent body of work, like suggest, due in part to the fact that he has his long hair. And remember, it's not just about what you can bring to a franchise as coach again when you're the head coach. Part of it is to give it. You're the face of the franchise.
Yep.
And if you're an owner, it's a little bit of a different sell for Rob Ryan, who has, I suppose, an unconventional look to it with that long sort of silver fox hair versus some of the more cleaned up work you see some of the coaches who just got jobs the past couple of days. Ken Whisman certainly presents himself well. Jim Caldwell presents himself very well. That's something that owners, whether or not it really matters, maybe some of the fans, in the owner's mind, some believe that the coach has to present himself with kind of a clean cut look, and that's something they can fans who are looking for hope and looking for sort of progress and more wins. Some people associate that with a clean sort of sharp-looking coach.
Field Yates from ESPN NFL Insider, certainly appreciate you joining us here. Have a lot of fun. These games, NFC, AFC Championship, should be great.
Should be a great weekend, guys. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the games. That was Field Yates from ESPN NFL Insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Field Yates. He keeps it simple. I like that, Todd.
I like that, too. It's interesting that you would be the one to ask a hair question.
Well that's Mr. when I Clean. Take notice.
You're like Mr. Clean.
That's right. The bald guys typically take notice about who has the nice hair, and, you know, I wonder if he can, like, sue the NFL for that.
He needs to wait for the
discriminatory hair violation.
He needs to wait for the Raiders job to open because then he'd be perfect for that.
I don't think he's suited for a head coaching job.
Yeah,
Didn't he have like a naked woman on the back of his defensive play calling playbook?
Well, What?
Defensive play calling playbook.
Well, he changes it every week. The week he played the Eagles, he had, like, Pat Stakes on it, and he had, like, a picture of his dad in an Eagles hat or something.
Right. Well, one week he had a naked model.
Naked model.
Fact.
So that would ensure that the cameras couldn't put on it?
Partial fact. I don't know if she was actually naked.
Well, think about that. You know how they always zoom in on the coaches, right?
Yeah.
And they have their play sheets there.
Yep.
If you put a naked model on your play sheet, then the cameras can't zoom in on it.
Right.
Smart move.
Nice move by Rob.
Yeah.
Kevin, what did you make of Field saying that, yes, it's a little bit more significant with the Broncos signing Cole?
No, I think it's really significant because he was not only was a special teams player, but he played a lot of cornerback because the Patriots were so banged up earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously knows how they defend. I mean, he knows their system.
I agree with you, Kevin. It's much more significant than last week's, you know, made up drama.
Yeah, I'm far more worried.
With Deion.
I'm far more worried about this than I was last week. Put it that
Kevin,
way.
Kevin, you seem a little worried. You know, you got this. You're worried about this. You're worried about the weather. It's supposed to be 57 and sunny. You're worried about
things aren't unfolding.
People smoking marijuana in the stadium.
Yeah, marijuana.
Things
you
aren't
got,
unfolding the way that I was hoping.
You made a point to point out that Gronk was there the first time and not this time, and Orange Julius was not there for them last time, and he's here this time.
But notice how I'm pointing out facts.
You are pointing out facts.
So,
I noticed also that, you know, you pulled the marijuana thing right out of the sky.
Yeah, well, we were talking about it a lot earlier. It got a lot of play here on Patriots.com earlier, since the Patriots are going to the great state of Colorado.
Interesting.
Are they leaving on a Friday or Saturday?
They're leaving on a jet plane. I cannot say which day yet, though.
Okay.
Why?
I don't think it's public information.
Well, they better leave before Friday, because there's supposed to be a major, major blizzard coming your way, Kev.
They're going to be leaving. Is that how it goes? On a jet plane? Don't know. Who sings that? Is that John Denver?
I was going to say Elton John.
Elton John? No,
it's
that's Rocket Man. That's
Rocket Man's Elton
I think
John.
Leaving on a jet plane is John Denver.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not good. Didn't he die in a plane crash?
That's why I said
that's
it's not
no good. That's no good.
That's not good at all.
No, but seriously, it's supposed to be a major, major snowstorm in
so hopefully they
New
beat
England
the
area.
Or else they'll have to postpone the game or we'll forfeit. That's no good.
Can you imagine if they forfeit?
That'd be terrible.
That's how the Broncos make the Super Bowl? That would never happen. I'm sure Belichick would rent snowmobiles before that happens.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine Coach Belichick leading the team like down I-95 in like just a convoy of snowmobiles to like the next airport in Connecticut or New York or wherever?
I think Tom's snowmobile would have like a little sidecar with Giselle in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, I just saw a few pictures of Giselle doing some modeling work on the beaches of Malibu.
Okay.
So she's not around. No distractions for Tom this week.
I gotcha.
Giselle's in Malibu with the kids. Or maybe no kids.
Who knows?
Who knows? But those pictures distracted me from some of the work I was supposed to be doing. But it's all good.
You know, Field Yates, I actually caught him on ESPN today, and we didn't get to it when he was on the air, but he brought up an interesting point. Do you know how much the Patriots are paying both Edelman and Blount combined this year?
No, how much?
Combined. Kevin, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I thought I heard him say $1.35 million.
Yeah, I think Edelman's only making $750,000.
Oh, that's what a steal.
I think combined $1.35 million.
Yeah, he was a steal.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards. Yeah, he was a steal. And he was out there on the open market as a free agent last year, and nobody wanted him. And the Patriots brought him back on a one-year deal for nothing.
So, wow.
And look what happened.
Yeah, good things have happened. So is it going to be a long week for you, Kevin?
Oh, it's already been a long week.
Yeah, it's only Tuesday.
I'm multitasking already.
Yeah. Bill, are you awake?
During the whole show, I've been multitasking.
You're always multitasking.
Yeah, no, I was laughing hysterically earlier because I just had a question pop up on my screen that says, "How often do you examine your testicles for lumps?"
What?
Stupid health insurance questionnaire.
Health insurance.
That's what you're multitasking with?
Well, I've been so busy with work. I just got yelled at by HR upstairs saying, you have till tomorrow to take this or your benefits aren't going to be carried over this year because of
really?
The new year. And like, I've been putting it off for weeks. And so I clicked on the link and like, question 43, how often do you examine your testicles for lumps? Monthly, rarely, or never? I chose monthly. I'm quite familiar with my testicles, thank you very much.
Do they send down someone to make sure that you've checked them?
I hope so. Question 47, expected household income this year. I refuse to fill that out because it's embarrassing.
Aw.
These questions are great. They make me laugh. Have you ever been tested for glaucoma? No. But glaucoma, smoking weed helps glaucoma, right?
It does.
So that is a tie-in for that one. I'm telling
Italian?
You. This is more fun than I thought it was going to be. It's making me laugh.
How are you doing this questionnaire when we're talking about football? It's very disrespectful.
Well, dude, I'm not the host of the show.
Yeah, it's the Bill Enright show.
Todd's over there, like, texting and getting mobile alerts and doing all this stuff. You're yawning through half the show. I mean, come on.
Well, it is Bill's show. He can yawn.
You're right. It is Bill's show. It's the Bill Enright show.
Do what I want.
We're actually going to change the graphic for Thursday. It's just going to be Bill's big fat head in the middle of the screen.
Good. That's how it should be.
It's the Bill Enright and Company, it'll be called. Bill Enright and Friends, maybe?
Yeah, Bill Enright and Friends.
Anyone that listens to the show knows I have to carry the team.
Bill Enright and Friends. I like that.
Just like
LeGarrette
Blount. Just like LeGarrette Blount. I have to carry the team.
Smoking blunts, glaucoma, Mile High, you know. Kevin, you're supposed to play something.
No, I think Bill has something to say about this.
Oh, does he?
Then that's when they smoke it.
Oh.
What? Where was that one from?
What the hell is he referring to that?
I'm not sure. He's clearly picking up what I'm putting down, though.
All right, so from a pure selfish reason, I really hope the Pats get to the Super Bowl again because I had so much fun interviewing Coach Belichick. I mean, it was really the highlight of everything I dreamed about in football.
Yeah.
I mean, his amazing answers to some of my questions are legendary.
What did he say to you?
I'm sure it'll be a good game. Like, that's like six words. And, yeah, it should be a good one. Here's what we should do.
Patriots,
a follow-up.
Patriots made Super Bowl. You and I have press credentials. Kevin's going to join us. We're going to have drinks.
Uh-huh.
When we interview Belichick, when we get our chance to ask him that one question, because how many questions are you going to get in? One or two, maybe?
It's tough, Todd. Oh, I can't wait. Listen, Media Day is like a fight.
But here's the thing. We need to place bets. We need to place bets. Like, how many words can we get him to say? And what's the over-under should be like 6.5.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? We need to start. We need to place a lot of bets, talk about it on the radio, fun things like that. You know, will we see Gronk out at night? You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
I agree with you. We need the Patriots to be in the Super Bowl for a million reasons.
Yeah.
We need them to be there so we can tell the people what's going on.
It needs to happen. Make it happen, Kev. Do what you need to do. Are you going to Denver?
I hope not.
Why?
Because I've already been there, and if I stay here, then I get Saturday off, and I don't have to get home in the middle of the night. And if the game goes how I'm going to predict it to go, I don't want to be on that plane ride home.
What about if they win?
If they win, then it's great because I'm still here with a full night of sleep and ready to rock and roll and get ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Your priorities are out of whack, dude.
No.
Sleeping?
Bill,
having the day off on Saturday?
Sleep is one of the things I enjoy most in life.
Really?
Yeah, I love to sleep.
Don't you have a chance to sleep when the season's over?
Yeah, it's been a long 8 months.
All right, well, you have 4 months to chill.
I wish, yeah, I wish. I wish that's how it went.
How's it 8 months?
I don't know. July, August, September, October, November, December, January. Well, depending, 7 months. Depending on how long they go into February. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl the first week of February, the next 2 weeks after, it'll be a complete circus.
Does that soccer program really keep you busy in the offseason?
Yeah, it starts March 8th, and getting the radio platform ready will probably take 2 weeks, so I got to start the second to last week in February.
Do they need another do they need a host?
There's no real show. I can make myself available. We do the games, so there's no like shows. We just do the games.
Oh.
So it would be a play-by-play guy or a color guy, and I don't know if you're qualified for that.
I can do color.
Could you add like a Spanish accent maybe? Or an Irish, some sort of European
of course.
Maybe?
I'm fluent in Spanish.
Kevin, you know how good Bill is with his
amigo
accents.
Con grande cabeza. Amigo con grande cabeza.
Color commentary in soccer has to be the easiest thing.
Yeah, the pass was a little over his head on that one. Just couldn't get the footing there. And the ref throws a yellow.
It's the client as a dear man, not tennis players.
What was that?
Like a Jedi Knight. No, better than that, a Templar Knight. This is a flash of pure inspiration.
Can you do that, Bill?
In the Scottish accent? Probably.
If you smell a soccer jockstrap.
Smell a soccer jockstrap? What is that?
Will you stop talking about tennis players and stupid Hollywood hackers?
Who is that?
Ray Hudson. He's one of the British Premier League guys.
He's awesome. I've listened to him before.
I've never watched.
I think he's on crack, but it's okay.
His best line. Do you have the magisterial line?
I don't have that. I just played all of them.
Have you heard that one?
No.
Like when a guy scores a goal, Bill, if it's a really good one, like a really difficult one, he'll say, "It was magisterial. The shot, magisterial."
I just like the guys
that go like, "It's a beautiful touch. What a lovely touch." Or the guys that'll go, "He's ready to swing it into the mixer with his educated left foot." It's like, okay, how can a foot be educated? My foot's not educated.
Mm.
Or a pass, it was weighted brilliantly. It's like, ugh, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, that's why I stick to
I don't get it, Bill. I don't get it. It's just not
that's
my
why I stick to the pigskin, NFL, and college football.
But I'm a slave to the system, Bill, so it is what it is.
All right, well, listen, we'll be back on these airwaves on Thursday. We're going to do a full NFC-AFC championship preview. Kevin, what guests are you working on?
I mean,
you did a great job today getting Field Yates. Very knowledgeable.
I'll get somebody.
NFL
we'll put it
insider.
You know,
I'll get somebody.
You should get Charles Barkley on. He had a few interesting things to say last week.
That is true. We might have to delve more into Charles Barkley.
Why don't you try to get, like, a famous Patriots fan? Like, get Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Okay.
But have you ever tried? Maybe he'd be out. Maybe he'd be up for it.
Wouldn't even know where to start.
I'll try to do some research.
I'll get a football guest if you want to get a Wahoo.
All right, you try to get the football guest. I will work on a celebrity guest.
What about before we sign off? Who's the celebrity list? Wahlberg? Who?
Yeah, that's
Giselle. Who are you talking about?
Who else?
At 5:50, I just got this email less than a minute ago. I got no's on Jim Nance, Phil Sims, Boomer, or Coach Cower. All no.
Oh, awesome.
Nice pick, Cower.
Thanks, CBS.
I do what I can.
Thanks a lot, CBS.
Hey,
thanks for the support.
I work with crap most of the time, you know, with these people trying to pedal off these guests on me. So I'll do the best I can. I promise you that.
Famous Patriot fans. Celebrity Patriots and how about Maria Menounos?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Why? She's a
I'm
big
just
Patriot
saying,
fan.
Go for it. I just don't know how to do it. That's a good
hit her,
drop.
Hit her up on Twitter.
I don't know how to do it. Yeah, I'm sure she responds to all our Twitter requests.
Yeah, but you're Pats_RadioKevin.
That is true. With all 500 followers,
Pats_Radio_Kevin.
She'll laugh at me.
How do you know? Maybe she'll follow you.
Most girls laugh at me.
And fall in love.
Happily taken, thank you very much.
You should get a famous Jets fan on, and then we'll just ride him the whole time.
Now, that is a drop and a half right there. We'll just ride him the whole time. I like that. I like where your head's at.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg and Maria Menounos.
That's it?
That's all I can think
of. Yeah, that's... I mean, and I don't even think either one of them.
Where's Jimmy Fallon from?
With them. Ah, Jimmy Fallon's a joke. I hate
Why?
Jimmy Fallon. I don't find him entertaining.
Really?
I'm tired
I think he's
of
like
his,
genius.
I'm tired of his shtick.
I like him a lot.
I'm tired of Fever Pitch and all those other crap movies he's put out.
He's a Boston
on SNL
guy, right?
When he can't keep a straight face.
Is he a Boston guy,
yes or no? He is.
All right, what about Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
Conan O'Brien.
What about Conan O'Brien? He went to Harvard.
Yeah, he's a Boston Brookline guy, which is where the Crafts live, and I believe Tom Brady has his mansion in Brookline.
All right, so we'll have Conan on Thursday.
Yeah, go get Conan, Bill.
Conan, Maria Menounos, Mark Wahlberg, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Let's get one of those five.
Get Rex Ryan, too, just for kicks.
Rex Ryan, he's like a backup. He's our alternate. That's fair enough.
How about Timberlake? He likes like every team, doesn't he?
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, just get JT.
He likes... I don't know what team he likes. He's from, where is he from? Memphis. He might like the Titans.
He kind of seems like he likes everyone. Mm. That's his whole thing, you know.
Leave it on jet plane. All right, it's time to wrap up this episode of Football Nation. I want to thank Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. I want to thank Field Yates from ESPN NFL Insiders for joining us today. We will be back on these airwaves, Patriots.com radio, on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On behalf of Kevin Collins, Todd DeVries, I'm Bill Enright. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of your week.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
There's so many times I let you down.